A big storm is coming our way with heavy rain, gusty winds, the latest forecast analysis on this special edition of the Carolina Weather Group. It's Friday, December 15th, 2023. I'm James Brierton in Charlotte with Frank Strait in Columbia, South Carolina, and we are preparing for the impacts of a nor'easter, a strong coastal storm that will be bringing heavy rain and gusty winds to both North Carolina and South Carolina Sunday, overnight into portions of Monday, depending on where you are in the Carolinas. In this special Friday night edition of the Carolina Weather Group, we're going to give you this forecast analysis and insights and what we think could be the impacts from this storm that, Frank, today I heard Chief Meteorologist Brad Panovich say the impacts could be similar to those impacts that we would receive from a tropical storm. What's on your radar tonight, Frank?
I'm thinking about the same thing. It looks as though this thing is going to have roughly the same kind of wind, roughly the same amount of rain, kind of a storm surge as well, and also an isolated tornado threat for the coastal areas. And that sounds exactly like a tropical storm to me.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there's been a lot of discussion against us, amongst us weather weenies about, well, this model says it's going to go this way and this model says it's going to go this way. But I mean, now that we are 48 hours out, sure, maybe the low is a little bit closer to shore. Maybe the low is even a little bit more onshore. But all in all, what Frank just said, I think, is really the key factor here, is that we're going to see coastal impacts. We're going to see coastal flooding. We're going to see gusty winds as far inland as Columbia, as Charlotte, North Carolina, which could lead to some scattered power outages and even the downing of some trees. Our own Scotty Powell in Myrtle Beach tweeting this today. As you can see, the city of Myrtle Beach picking up trash cans along the coast there in their town as they prepare to bring in any loose objects. You at home can do the same thing when you think about holiday decorations and other things that could be easily blown away, because we could easily, as Frank just said, be seeing winds upwards of 30, 40, maybe even 50 miles an hour or so. Especially, Frank, I guess the winds would be even stronger if you're along the coast. Is that right?
Yes, correct. I'm looking most closely at the South Carolina coast today, but the North Carolina coast is faring similarly, I think, that I think the wind gust potential's 50 plus right at the immediate South Carolina coast. And that might extend even farther inland across South Carolina, I mean, across North Carolina. It may not be just at the Outer Banks or just near the beaches. It may actually go fairways inland.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about those winds, because I feel like a little bit we got a preamble to this weekend setup last weekend when we had a storm system. We had storms roll through associated with the cold front, and we did see heavy rain, gusty winds, and yes, even a little severe weather, including a tornado there in Gardner, North Carolina, south of Raleigh. And yet here we are again. It's another Sunday and another storm system. I was already kind of looking around my property today. Matter of fact, I called Duke Energy to let them know a tree was already leaning on some power lines. And as I told the operator, that line is still up. But when we get those winds through on Sunday, that could be the first one to come back on down. What do you think, Frank, people could be doing on Saturday when the weather's nice to get their property prepared for Sunday?
Well, first and foremost, those of you that have those Christmas decorations out, you'll want to make sure that those are securely in place. And those lawn ornaments, those inflatable Santa Claus with the floppy arms that go like that.
That's right.
You'll want to bring those inside because they're either going to get torn up or blown away in the winds, even in places well inland in the upstate of South Carolina. There's going to be winds frequently gusting to 30 miles an hour and peak gusts to 40 or so. That's going to be enough to blow those Christmas decorations away, along with, you know, the empty trash cans you have in your yard, things like that. You're going to want to bring those inside, put them in your garage or something so that you don't lose them. In any other, like I said, any of those loose items in your yard. And of course, if you have decorations out, your Christmas lights, that's took a long time to put them up. You're not going to want to take them down, but keep in mind that if you don't have them fastened securely in place, they might get knocked down.
And, you know, we got a question here live from YouTube on this Friday night. Jeremy wants to know, Frank, will this system get a name as a subtropical storm system? What do you think?
You know, when this situation first started becoming apparent that we were going to have to deal with some significant coastal storm on Sunday, some of the models then were showing this thing initially having some tropical characteristics. I was thinking, you know, it wouldn't shock me if this thing ended up getting named as a subtropical storm at some point. But the models have kind of trended away from that, having showing that warm core developing and the strongest winds right near the center. So right now I'm leaning against saying this thing happened, although don't be surprised if you see a special outlook coming out of the hurricane center with a little yellow X.
Or it'll be 6 months from now and they'll be like, under further analysis, we determined.
Yeah, that too, like subtropical one from this past year. Exactly. It would be just the perfect if we had a bookend like a forward to this year with a subtropical storm back in January. We have another one in December to close things out.
I do think either way, Jeremy and everyone else, it's important to note, even if it doesn't become tropical of any nature, because the chances of that are just funsies amongst us nerds, the impacts are going to be the same.
And so whether it has a name or not, whether it's a subtropical storm or a former subtropical storm or just purely extra tropical just not tropical enough to get a name, the impacts are going to be the same. There's going to be strong winds, not hurricane force, definitely in the gale or tropical storm range, a lot of rain, coastal quote unquote storm surge, and some isolated tornadoes near the coast, just like you'd see with a tropical or subtropical system.
This is Frank's GFS model. I think we're getting a little bit of an echo here. No one wants two Jameses. That's too much. Here is the GFS model to kind of convey what this system more or less could look like late Sunday night, right about here, transitioning over to Monday. You can see how windy it will be. That's how close those lines are together, along with the intensity of that rain. And it's probably also worth noting this time of year, I know my family is amongst them and maybe yours are too, that this storm system is going to ride up the coast then, right? So if you have friends or family, or maybe even you're traveling to the Northeast, maybe you're doing it in this the days after Hanukkah or the few days here before Christmas, you can see that as soon as this storm is done coming through the Carolinas, it's going to go right on up into the populated Northeast region, which, Frank, really begs the question. We were talking about this before the show. Why is it called a nor'easter, Frank?
Well, it's this is a term that developed up north in your I-95 corridor in times before there was an I-95. When these kind of storms hit, they were called nor'easter, a contraction of northeaster, because the winds were out of the northeast. They're really strong. Looking at the specifics of this storm, at least in South Carolina, I haven't looked that closely in North Carolina, but at least in South Carolina,
that's good. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the winds aren't really going to be out of the Northeast, at least not for all that long. It's mostly going to be out of the Southeast to East when the winds are strongest along the Southeast coast. And they're going to flip around to the North and Northwest pretty quickly and then be strong out of that direction for some hours. But you're not really a nor'easter by our standards anywhere, by the standards of what nor'easters are supposed to be. To be honest, I don't really like the term for storms in this part of the country.
I know, I was so surprised to hear you say that. You're like, yeah. I don't like this term. And I was like, oh, here I am trying to tell everyone it has nothing to do with the Northeast, has to do with the wind direction. Well, and Frank's like, no.
Yeah, a lot of people are calling it that. But like I was telling you before the show, James, I had never really heard the term nor'easter until I moved to Pennsylvania and worked for AccuWeather for a while. It's something I rarely heard, and it was mostly people from up north talking about, nor'easter.
Yeah, that's not like you said oyster. Anyway, here's a look at the expected precipitation totals. This is GFS, so it could change whether you look at the European or the NAM or when we start getting into the high resolution models. But you can see 4 inches, especially the further south you are. In South Carolina, maybe 2 or 3 inches across portions of North Carolina. Good news for our drought, but just like we were saying last week, yes, we have a rainfall deficit of several inches. Yes, we are in a drought, but we don't need all of the rain at once. Matter of fact, having the rain a little bit more slowly would have been a little bit more helpful. But, the winds combined with all of that rain, one of the other things we're going to have to keep a close eye on is the coastal flooding threat. And I can go ahead and pop another graphic up here on the screen. And you can see that we will have a serious coastal flooding threat across much of the Carolina, especially in those Outer Bank regions. When you combine that heavy rain and that wind together, especially if it does start to blow, Frank, towards the Northeast and trying to drive some of that on shore. So we are watching for the chances of coastal flooding. Matter of fact, here's a little coastal flooding prediction map for you that our friend Scotty Powell, again in the Myrtle Beach area, tweeted out earlier today from the Weather Service. This is the Atlantic coast there at the Spring Maid Pier. And you can see that the prediction is that the tides there could surpass the flood stage being 7 feet. And by the time we get through Sunday, they might be looking at 9, almost 10 feet of water in some places. So again, it could be a coastal, it could be water coming in an inlet, could be water coming up a little bit up a river, depending on the exact flow that we do get associated with this. And Frank, I think you've got another one up on your screen here. This is for Charleston. What are you looking at there in South Carolina?
Right. Yeah. In the Charleston area, there's a little bit of uncertainty here because of some uncertainties with timing of the storm and when the strongest onshore winds are going to happen, that onshore winds push the water into the coastline and cause that quote unquote storm surge in this situation. Not really, because it's not a tropical system, but basically the same thing. But
sorry, I keep saying it just for ease, I think.
Right. Exactly. But I'm doing the same thing too. But in this case, if those strongest winds occur right at high tide, then maybe, which is right before noon tomorrow in Charleston, that if those strongest winds occur at the same time, the tide might get a little bit higher than the 7.6 foot prediction. Right now, it looks like it's going to happen a little bit earlier in the day. But if those winds are still, you know, blasting right ashore at the time of high tide, then, you know, maybe it ends up getting higher, maybe even the major range there at 8 feet. But right now, 7.6, that's enough to cause problems. And on top of that, it looks like it's really going to be pouring down rain at the same time. And Charleston tends to get in a lot of trouble when there's high water levels and it's really raining hard at the same time, even if it's not into the major flood range. So tomorrow morning and midday is probably not going to be a good time to be hanging out in downtown Charleston, or rather Sunday morning and midday. Probably not a good time to be hanging out in downtown Charleston.
Well,
times to be in Charleston, but Sunday morning, probably not.
Well, Frank, you said it yourself, right? We're looking at South Carolina. I'm looking to look at North Carolina here. Similar story as we make our way along the North Carolina coast out towards the Outer Banks, Atlantic, Ocracoke, Kill Devil Hills here, right? We're looking at minor to moderate flooding, maybe even significant risks of flooding in certain places that might be facing those onshore winds. The ones that are along the Outer Banks, again, along the rivers and the inlets here. This graphic from Newport, Moorhead City, North Carolina. If you're listening to our podcast tonight, that might mean places like Emerald Isle or Beaufort could see some of that coastal flooding threat associated with this storm. And I know they're going to be watching NC-12 very closely as a result of that.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if Highway 12 ended up getting closed for a time in this one. It's going to be a pretty good storm up there.
Yeah. Here's a look at, I'm going to go back to the GFS. We can look at some of the other models too. I don't want to only be playing the GFS game, but this, Frank, here is wind speeds at 925 millibars. So, you know, we're not looking at surface level here, a little above, but you can see folks at home, you know, where the center of circulation might be associated with this nor'easter as it kind of comes up that I-95 corridor and those winds, you know, at 925 millibars, talking 40, 50, let's see, this is in knots, so somebody can do some math here, but you can see the strongest winds, 60, 70, 80 knots, will be just like a tropical system on that northeast quadrant, if you will, that top right quadrant of the storm system. So all along that I-95 corridor is where we could see the bulk of some of the worst power outages potentially with this.
Right. To put in some context, 925 millibars, we're talking about that. We're talking about the level in the atmosphere where that's what the pressure is, 925 millibars. That's about 2,000 feet in this particular case. So
which is lower than the radar coverage I have in Charlotte.
Right, exactly.
So I have to get that in anyway, everywhere I can.
Right, it's like 3,000 feet lower. But anyway, when you have winds of that magnitude occurring at only 2,000 feet, a lot of the momentum from that wind will get pushed down to the surface. And oftentimes that 925 wind is a good proxy for what your worst case scenario peak wind gust is.
Yeah, we do have a question in the chat. This one, once again, from Jeremy watching on YouTube. Thanks for being with us on the special edition on Friday night here. What are the chances of seeing tornadoes? 3 days out, we don't get the actual SPC category breakdown of the actual tornado versus wind versus hail. But you can see marginal risk here on Sunday, that tier 1 out of 5. Typically, that puts us in that 2% chance of a chance of seeing a tornado, give or take. But again, I think if we do see one, just like a tropical system, and Frank, you can correct me or back me up here, I think it'll be probably short-lived and maybe even hard to detect on that crowded radar. So again, I think the best chances of seeing a quick spin up is going to be east of I-95.
Yeah, it looks that way. You can see the outlook area is right along I-95 and points east in South Carolina, and then it kind of gets cut off there once you get north of the Lumberton area, with the line northern edge of it going toward Greenville and the Outer Banks. But this is not going to be a big tornado outbreak, I don't think. There's potential for a few, but it wouldn't surprise me if there were zero either. It's not the greatest setup for tornadoes. There's not a ton of that instability present. Gobs and gobs of shear, but not a whole lot of instability. So this is, and like you mentioned, this is the kind of thing where you can you can get these tornadoes. They tend to be weak, although even the weakest tornadoes still very dangerous. And they develop quick and they dissipate quick. So they don't last very long. And the downside of that is it makes it very difficult for the Weather Service to get out a good warning with good lead time. So I sympathize with them to borrow. It's going to be a difficult job to get those warnings out in a timely manner.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about the warning process. It's going to be a good day to have a NOAA weather radio. That is an analog piece of technology that will work most of the time, even if your cell networks go down, if your power goes out, because even if we're not getting spin-up tornadoes, we're still going to have those gusty winds we talked about, 40, 50, maybe approaching that 60 mile per hour, almost at severe thunderstorm strength in some places. And that could be enough to bring down power lines, tree branches, or trees themselves in some places. And so that could be leading to sporadic power outages. So having that NOAA weather radio is a good way to stay informed. Two promises that we'll make here from the Carolina Weather Group to help you stay informed. On Sunday, we will be streaming our Carolina Weather Net, which streams for free on YouTube. You can watch it any place you get YouTube, so long as our HQ still has power. And so you can get real-time warnings and radar on there. Don't make that your primary way of getting alerts, but it could be a way to supplement and have redundancy in your system. And if we do get into a situation here in the Carolinas where we have widespread power outages, we know it might be hard for you to watch and get information, we'll do some extra special audio updates on our audio podcast feed, because sometimes it's a little bit easier, Frank, to stream some audio when you have low data or low battery. It's just a little bit more conservative on those technical resources. So we could do some audio podcasts too if it comes down to it.
Yeah. But another thing I probably should have mentioned, we were talking about the tornado risk. The closer you are to the coast, the higher that's going to be. I think that the best chance of seeing a tornado might actually be from a water spout that's occurring over the water and ends up coming ashore. So the closer you are to the coast, the more concerned I would be about this tornado risk.
Yeah, that's a really, really good point. And, you know, I'm just I am comparing and you know, I don't want to deter folks from the actual impacts. But amongst our group of weather weenies, I know we all like to look at the different model runs, and we've been looking at the GFS throughout our broadcast tonight. And if you're watching with us on YouTube or on Facebook, you know, it's interesting to see on this NAM. This is actually the 0Z, almost how elongated the storm system kind of became as it got dragged up into the mid-Atlantic coast. So, you know, those winds could be really strong along the coast, and how far inland they come, we'll have to wait and see. But I think one way or the other, Frank, the biggest story out of Bank of America Stadium on Sunday might not be how badly the Panthers are losing. If anything, the Panthers might be rooting for the game to get postponed or canceled.
Maybe. not the Panthers' year, that's for sure.
So that'll be a real world impact. So if you have any outdoor events on Sunday, you might want to consider moving them inside or rescheduling them altogether. The good news is Saturday is going to be really great. I got plans outside on Saturday. Frank here, looks like you're looking at one of the European-based models. Is that what I'm seeing?
This is the Euro, the main Euro deterministic model. And we'll start this out here at 48 hours from the 12Z run. So that would be Sunday evening, and or rather Saturday evening, and the storm's still in the developing stages over the eastern Gulf of Mexico at this point. That's your left panel. Right panel's peak wind gust. I know that doesn't show up particularly well here. This, by the way, coming from weatherbottles.com. And the wind looks like it picks up and the rain spreads over South Carolina during late Sunday or Saturday night, early Sunday morning, the early morning hours, and then into North Carolina, at least according to the Euro, and then spreads over the over South Carolina and, during the morning. And again, that looks like when the strongest winds occur, according to the Euro anyway. This is 18Z we're looking at. And up to that point, it looks like the Charleston area has peak gusts of 45 to 55 and the Myrtle Beach area in the high 40s. And then those winds translate into the Outer Banks in the afternoon and evening and across the Sounds and some inland areas, too. And that's where those wind gusts are up in the 50s for the Outer Banks and high 40s to around 50 there. Another thing worth mentioning, again, this thing winds down in South Carolina during the evening and North Carolina late at night. But look what's happening on the backside. Northwest flow. Strong northwest flow. And the model here is showing some gusts going up to around 60 miles an hour in the Boone and Jefferson area. And also, if you're high enough in elevation, some snow. So we'll be watching out for some snow accumulations there late Sunday night into Monday across the mountains of North Carolina. And even into Monday night, and maybe even going into early Tuesday. So we might end up seeing several inches in the favored spots up there.
Yeah, if only the rest of us could have got in on that, is what the rest of the snow lovers are saying. I did pop up a question from YouTube tonight. Hickory Gun Nut asked, will there be any moisture damming occurring against the mountains that will increase the rainfall totals in the foothills area? Segues nicely off of what you were just talking about, Frank, there with that northwest flow and the cooling of the temperatures and turning some of that rain into snow or wintry precip. And yeah, I think that is definitely a good call out from Hickory and a potential. I mean, the good news is I think this thing is close enough to the shore that the lower precip numbers in total in general will be closer to those higher elevations. So there's some saving grace there. But yes, absolutely. I think especially if you live in an area where you kind of know, okay, when the winds get blowing this way, the terrain really starts to interact with it. That's a good call out and something to consider as, again, we can be talking about tornadoes, we can be talking about weather models, but it's going to be those gusty winds and those rainfall totals that it really start to add up. And, you know, we talked about coastal flooding, Frank, but, you know, I guess it's also worth mentioning if you live in a low-lying area, street that pours has poor drainage, property that has poor drainage, this could be a situation where you pretty quickly get an inch or two of rain or more, and you could be seeing that repeated localized flooding if that's something you typically see in your community.
Right. And one other thing worth mentioning, in addition to the flooding, there's also going to be some pounding surf and there's going to be beach erosion. And it looks like it could be pretty significant. The Wilmington Weather Service office is really jumping all over that. And I think there you have a very good point there.
Yeah. Absolutely. We'll show the Euro again that Brad Panovich tweeted out a little bit earlier talking about wave heights. I guess if you're a surfer, it's great news. But like most situations where there's good wave heights, you got to be very careful out there in those rough waters in a situation like this. Pretty tropical like here in December.
Even if I were an experienced surfer, I don't know if I would try it in this case, aside from the fact the water's getting cold. This is really going to be pounding hard. It's not like it's a Hawaii type surf where you've got an offshore flow and distant swells coming in with those overhead bombs being caused by swells. Those are great. No, this is going to be sloppy, choppy, junky surf and not going to be any fun. And it's going to pound the heck out of you try and surf it. I wouldn't recommend it, even if you're experienced.
All this talk of surfing did make me want to mention again, probably for travel purposes or otherwise, Florida tomorrow, where this storm really will first interact with land, does have a slight risk of severe weather, 2 out of 5 chance there. And so that's even more like your quote unquote typical tropical system impacts, where they too could be seeing gusty winds and an even higher tornado chance, probably between that 2% and 5% chance in Florida. This is for Saturday as that storm kind of really gets going, moves across Florida, and then we'll be interacting with our coast come Sunday once again.
This is even more like a tropical storm, not really a tropical storm, but it's even more going to be even more like a tropical storm Saturday tomorrow down in Florida than compared to even what we're seeing here in the Carolinas.
Yeah. The only tab I didn't get to tonight that I do want to give a shout out to the Raleigh area. If you're watching, we know you had a lot of storms last weekend. And again, you could be in that 3-inch rainfall total range. The National Weather Service Weather Prediction Center putting much of the Carolinas, essentially I-77 to the east, in that slight risk of seeing excessive rain associated with this storm. Again, that's going to be, generally speaking, 2 to 4 inches, wind gusts 30, 40, maybe even higher in some places. The closer you are to the shore, in recapping Frank on this special edition, I think the closer to the shore is where we're going to see the biggest impacts. But this is really going to be a North Carolina-wide, South Carolina-wide event, and we'll be keeping a close eye on it on Sunday.
Right. Yes. The biggest effect is, as we mentioned, at the coast, and the effects lessen as you head west toward the mountains, but still a substantial wind and rainstorm, even up to the foothills. And then once you get in the mountains, I think the wind potential goes up. It's just that it's as the storm's moving away, when the wind really picks up there and cold air starts blasting in, and you get those northwest flow snows.
It's very, very true. Well, that's going to do it for the special edition of the Carolina Weather Group on this Friday night. Frank, it's good to see you. Thanks for giving us your insight on this storm system. We know you'll be keeping a close eye on it there in South Carolina Sunday.
Sure will.
I'm James Brierton. Stay subscribed. YouTube will have live streaming radar during the storm. And like I mentioned, we'll do special audio blasts if the situation were to warrant. Until then, thanks for joining us and trusting us with your forecast analysis. We'll see you each and every Wednesday for more from your favorite podcast about weather, science, technology, and more. We know we're your favorite. We know. We won't tell the other shows.